We have three readings this morning. The first one is from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 to 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. We now move on to Proverbs 22, reading verses 17 to 21. Pay attention and turn your ear to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach, for it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have all of them on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I teach you today, even you. Have I not written 30 sayings for you, sayings of counsel and knowledge, teaching you to be honest and to speak the truth, so that you bring back truthful reports to those you serve, as a father the son delights in. We now move on to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it.
Well, I'm glad that Nick said it was something about being relaxed today, because the topic is reproof and correction. So let's take that to heart. Let's pray. Father God, we know that your love for us is amazing, that you delight in us. So as we come before you, thinking about your reproof and correction in our lives, may we know that we're coming to a loving Heavenly Father. So as we open up your word, bless it too as we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. The memory verse. Let me hear it. Brilliant. Well, that's life sorted then, isn't it? We've learnt the memory verse, and life's going to be straightforward. Our paths will be made straight. Jesus said something similar, but we just heard it in that reading. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it. When we look at our memory verse, we realise, in fact, that life isn't just sorted by memorising it. There's choices to be made. We're told to trust. We're told to submit. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate. So what's your life path? And today, where are you on it? We need God's help that he will make our path straight. Because otherwise, I say, really? Just memorizing that verse is not enough. It's trusting and submitting and allowing God to work in our lives. And indeed, just down the page, in Proverbs chapter 3, we come across these words. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Discipline is instruction, and rebuke is correction. Maybe you're one of those people who are still weighing up the gate that Jesus invited us to take, that narrow gate that leads to life. And you're thinking, hang on, there's this quite good wide road here to be going along. Everybody else seems to be doing that. Why turn off down this narrow route that Jesus advised? Well, we've now got a short video made by someone we know, Anna Sims, who lives in Lima in Peru, and she visits English-speaking prisoners in the women's prisons of Peru. And she's made this little video about Laura's story.
The author Marion Keyes wrote, "The landscape of the desert changes very gradually as little breezes lift grains of sand and move them, sometimes a few feet, sometimes miles and miles, so that at the end of the day, when the sun sets, the face of the desert is completely different from the landscape it had in the morning when the sun rose on it. In the same way, tiny little changes happen in you every day. My life before coming to Peru can be summed up in one word: chaos. I was flitting from one place to the next. I had no respect for myself, no respect for my parents, for nobody. I was the center of my universe, and that caused a lot of pain to others. I hate my old me. I really didn't want to come to Peru. I had problems from the other job to Brazil, but I was in financial crisis and desperate for a means to survive. My parents and children had pretty much written me off. I saw the job as a means of escaping reality, I guess. Funny enough, when I was arrested, I had never felt more peaceful in my life. Yes, I was upset about getting caught, but relieved that I would be forced to slow down and revise my life. I was taken to Santa Monica Prison, which I didn't like, because that was just another form of chaos for me. I pretty much made my first genuine connection with God there, because I told him, I was happy being in prison, but to please end the chaos in my life. 3 weeks later, I got sent to Ancon Prison, where there is structure, rules, and order. In Ancon, some days are long and tedious, but then other days you wonder where the time went. It just zips by without you realizing it. When I think about my upcoming release, I am very excited, and yet nervous at the same time. You get into such a routine here that the moment there is a slight change in the schedule, you are thrown off balance immediately. I'm mostly anxious to get back into the world and try again. When I look back over my time in prison, I wonder how I possibly got this far, that I'm still going strong and have survived. I am healthier than ever. I have been clean for 5 years, and I haven't killed anyone. That has to be God working in my life. Before prison, the only time you would have heard God's name coming out of my mouth was if I was cursing him. I am very ashamed of that fact, but now I love him with all my heart. It is wonderful having God in my life. I can see subtle changes in myself. You can't keep running from life or use substances to try and make the blow softer. You need to face life head on. God has a plan for your life, and he will get your attention, one way or another. He is the best way."
Someone's life turned around by God in circumstances you wouldn't expect. Being locked up in prison for, I assume, a drugs offences, probably plural, and yet through the love of someone visiting her in prison, inviting her to study scripture, a life turned around as God intervened. What's life about? I've recently read a book called Is This It? By Rachel Jones, who's a 26-year-old. And she wrote this: "People my parents' age tend to think my generation just needs to grow up. God thinks something different, that we need to..." What do you think comes next? "Grow like Jesus. That making our path straight, that walking of the narrow road that leads to life. It's a discipling process. I wondered if I was going to write a book, whether I might borrow that quote and change it a bit. People my children's age tend to think my generation just needs to give up. God thinks something different, that we need to grow like Jesus. Whatever age we are, we need to grow more like Jesus. Whether we're a 20-odd year old or younger, a 60-odd year old or older, we all need to grow more like Jesus. That's what God's reproof and correction is for. And his discipline is given to us because we are the people he loves. The Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son he delights in. I wonder how often people, preachers, say it's lovely and delightful to share God's word with you this morning. It should be lovely and delightful to share God's word with you this morning. As we looked round at each other earlier in the service, were our eyes filled with love and delight for each other, that we might build each other up as the household of God? That's the way that God looks at us. So often when we think of the words reproof and correction and discipline, we think of kind of a harshness to it. That's not God's way at all. His motivation is love and his delight in us. Can I say something briefly here about corporal punishment of children? Because Proverbs refers to the rod at several places. It's important that we bear in mind in Proverbs that God's discipling of us is loving and delighting. It's in giving life. It's in saving life. It's his duty of care that we see that he commends to his people. And that's worked out in terms that the society of 900 BC could understand and live with. Our culture is different. We've moved on from corporal punishment of hitting children due to the abuse that was occurring in our society. And I think I just want to explain that context because I think that's important. That there's other parts of Proverbs in a passage where, not far away from verses about disciplining a child, there's also a verse about moving the ancient boundary stone, which is prohibited. And this marked out the ancestral land, and the people were told, don't move it, don't sell it. In our culture, that didn't mean that I shouldn't sell my mother's flat when she died. That's our context is different. I just wanted to say something quickly there about that. But now back to our verse. Proverbs 3, verse 12. Discipline is there as part of God's instruction to us. It's a sort of highway code, if you like, for the journey. In our reading, we had a section from Proverbs chapter 22. Pay attention and turn your ear to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach. For it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have all of them ready on your lips. There's this taking to heart. This part of Proverbs, in fact, quite a lot of Proverbs, was probably written for youngsters being prepared for adult life. Take it to heart. Let it shape your character. We use the term learn by heart, don't we, as to memorize. So that in a way we don't have to think about it. It comes out instinctively. You know, before your driving test, you probably paid more attention to the highway code than you've done ever since. Certainly the guy in Stourbridge Junction car park who went past me exceeding the speed limit and undertaking me at the same time didn't seem to pay much attention to the highway code on Thursday. Before your driving test, you probably pay more attention to the highway code. It's a sort of highway code, this section of Proverbs 22 and 23. Commit it to heart so that we understand it instinctively. And then this little verse, so that your trust may be in the Lord, that word trust that was at the beginning of our memory verse, I teach you today, even you. Can you hang on to those three words? Today, even you. This is for each of us this Sunday. It will also be for each of us tomorrow. But there's something that the Bible teaches about taking one day at a time and the importance of the present moment. God comes to us today. When I read these verses from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, holding together discipline and rebuke kind of fit together, and love and delight fit together, but discipline and love and rebuke and delight seem more uncomfortable with each other. It's interesting that these are verses that the writer of the letter to the Hebrews in our New Testaments picks up around this whole area of character building and following Jesus in the tough times of life. The perplexing times, whether they be personal, whether they be things going on in our family or those that we know well, our neighbours, whether there's things going on in our church family. Indeed, yesterday morning we gathered for prayer because we're not sure quite what's happening with our finances and what God might be saying. In the perplexities of life, when we're puzzled, when God seems perhaps too far behind the scenes for our comfort. How do we react? When life is hard and suffering comes our way, how do we live through those times? Well, holding together discipline and love and rebuke and delight is part of the answer. I've borrowed this from Bible commentator Donald Carson and slightly adapted it from his book, How Long, O Lord? The title of his book taken from one of David's Psalms when he was going through a deep period of suffering. When life is perplexing and puzzled, is this God's way of telling me to change? Or is it designed to toughen me or soften me? Take off some of my rough edges to make me more useful in his service? Or is it unrelated to God's discipline at all, but rather part of the painful heritage of a fallen world? And sometimes it will be clear what that is. Donald Carson comments, "Must we always decide? If a little self-examination shows us how to improve, we ought to improve. But there are times when all the Christian can responsibly do is to trust our Heavenly Father in the midst of darkness and pain." I think that's really good advice. Sometimes, when we're perplexed and puzzled, it's because God is challenging us in a way which is calling us to change, which either we ourselves or those around us can see to be fairly obvious if we give it some thought and prayer. Other times, and maybe most times, working it out that clearly is not so obvious. And I don't think we have to rush to a conclusion. Sometimes it will be something coming to us, as it were, as God's discipline. Other times it might not be at all. Not all suffering is God's discipline. I want to conclude by giving you two examples as to how we work out that indeed the peace of God is beyond our understanding. The peace of God, when we are asking these sorts of three questions, is beyond, sometimes beyond our understanding, but not beyond our trust. Trust in the Lord. First of all, this well-known verse, indeed a hymn's been written about it, Lamentations chapter 3, because of the Lord's great love we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. His compassions, they never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. It's probably Jeremiah who wrote these words, or at least one of his mates. Jerusalem was in ruins. Jeremiah, for proclaiming God's judgment on people who were going away from God's ways, had been locked up in prison before the Babylonians had come. Most of the people had gone off to Babylon. After a slightly faltering restart, Jeremiah was in exile in Egypt. And yet he writes this. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. No matter what, Jeremiah, or one of his mates, was convinced of this. Jeremiah's prophecy had been that Jerusalem would be rebuilt in 70 years' time. That was beyond his generation. And yet he'd taken that as God's compassion and comfort to himself in his life, new every morning, one day at a time. I read this from in a little prayer diary. A 10-year-old boy or girl at a Falcon CPS camp said, I learnt that God loves me. I thought, isn't that great? It's even greater when you see what the rest of the sentence is. No matter what. That's a kind of Jeremiah experience. New every morning, I will wait for him. This was living out discipline that Jeremiah didn't deserve, but God's people did. But it affected the whole of Israel. He had a 70-year vision, but took one day at a time. And then some famous words of St. Paul. God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. This comes from Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth. I'll read just slightly earlier in the passage. He's talking about how he could boast about things far more than the Corinthian church, who loved saying how good they were. He says, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. this suffering, this perplexity, this puzzle, what on earth is going on in my life, Lord? Something that was tormenting him, something that he saw came not from God, but from Satan, a messenger of Satan. Actually, God told him, we'll live through this. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And by the time Paul wrote his letter to the Corinthians, he'd worked out that that was God's way of helping him not to be conceited. It made him more like Jesus. So, to go back to our key verse this morning. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. So when tough times come our way, challenging times come our way, when that road doesn't seem quite as smooth as we would like it to be, hang on to nevertheless, God loves you through that situation. He delights in you in that situation. So that your trust may be in the Lord, I teach you today, even you. This isn't just something for the future, it's for the here and now. For today, even for each of us here this morning.